Three, two, one. Welcome, dear listeners. This is episode 137.5 of the Dev and Dice podcast. Yes, it's a mini pod session. Hi, I'm Nick Shaw, the podcast's resident board game designer, and joining me today is no one. That's right, I am on my lonesome today. The podcast team are busily preparing for the Fox and Hounds board gaming weekend, which is coming up this weekend, and they have left me alone in the pod booth to do what I like. Oh, the fools, the fools! Now, you may be wondering what happened to episode 137, seeing as this is 137.5. Well, a small issue with Joel's laptop. It had its final journey down the stairs into a wall and very disastrously broke. And that is just after episode 137 was put up onto the feed and somehow was only 6 seconds long. And so we are in the situation where Joel can't actually recover that at the moment. We're hoping we can get something back from it because it was quite a fun one, but we will see what happens. But for now, it's just me. No banter. Oh, well, we'll see. No insulting of terraforming Mars. Definitely no insulting of terraforming Mars. No little doggies to bark in the background. Very sad. But we're going to carry on. I'm going to start with a very quick summary of various bits of news, some played games, and we'll see how we do. So here we go with some news. This appears to be the year of the two-player version of bigger games. We have got a lot of two-player-only games have been announced recently. This is just a small list. Aquatica Duellum, which is going to be a two-player version of Aquatica, which recently went up onto Board Game Arena, the multiplayer version, which is actually quite a fun game. I'd recommend checking that out, but the dual version is coming soon. And then next up is Flamecraft Duels, which is a two-player version of the Flamecraft game, which only came out a few years ago. And this looks to be a two-player travel-friendly version of the original, so it sounds like it's very similar. It's just been cut down a bit into two-player plays in about half an hour. That sounds, if you like Flamecraft, check it out. Looks nice. And then we have Celestia Duo. This is a two-player version of Celestia, which is from Bruno Cathala, publisher Blam. And this is going to be presumably a cut-down version in some way. I'm not sure how that's going to work. There's not a lot of information, there's a bit of blurb on Board Game Geek, but that sounds interesting if you would like that. Have a look. Then, rounding out the duel games here, the White Castle Duel. This is a two-player version of the White Castle, which I think was working okay as two-player as it was, but here we go, we've got a two-player version anyway. And this is coming out at the end of this year sometime. There's not much, again, not much information on this, not even a cover on Board Game Geek. But if you like the White Castle, you might want to have a look at this from De Vere. And sneaking onto the list just at the end here is Sail Legacy. So Sail was already a two-player game which had you playing tricks, trick-taking game, and you were trying to move your boat along the path by winning or losing tricks, depending on which person it was, so it's cooperative. This version, Sail Legacy, is co-op and trick-taking, but you're going to have 30 missions that you get to play through. We shall see what happens with that. We don't really know much more about that, but it's designed by Taylor Rayner from Taylor's Trick-Taking Table, which makes me very interesting because he was the developer on Lord of the Rings, the trick-taking game, Fellowship of the Ring, which I really enjoyed. So we shall see what more information comes of that, because I think that sounds really interesting. I wasn't too interested in the original Sail, but one that has 30 missions to go by Taylor Rayner as well, I think that'd be really interesting. Now moving on to other games that were announced. From the last episode, which disappeared, the lost episode, we had Lord of the Rings Fate of the Fellowship, which is a new game in the Pandemic system from Matt Leacock and Z-Man Games. That is going to be coming out as a pre-release at UK Games Expo prior to its official release. Sounds very interesting, some interesting looking stuff. There's a dice tower in the shape of Sauron's tower, which I think looks amazing, so that'd be a lot of fun. And also Finspan, which was announced and has already been delivered to a number of people already. They've had some reviews of that coming through. It sounds like it is a simplified version of Wingspan, not much simplified, but slightly easier version than Wingspan, and set in the sea life and fish, with the interesting mechanic of being able to eat fish that you've already placed to overlay new fish on top of them. You can lay eggs, you can hatch the eggs into hatchlings, and then they group into schools. Yeah, sounds really interesting, so I'm keen to have a look at that at some point. And then coming out of just after we recorded the last episode at the end of January, this was announced at the end of January, two new things for Forest Shuffle. The first one is an expansion called Exploration, and that is going to add an official solo mode. There is a semi-official solo mode, which is a fan-made one, and the publisher put up some graphics to kind of officially have that in there, but this is going to be kind of the official version. And it's going to add in some asymmetric caves, which is really interesting, some different way that caves are going to score, so they give different bonuses for certain things. Looking forward to see what that comes of that. And then a standalone new version of Forest Shuffle called Dartmoor, which is going to be set on Dartmoor in Devon. And as listeners may know, we are the pod crew are based around that area, so we know very much Dartmoor. This sounds really interesting, a completely different game, but looks like to have very, very similar mechanics. Quite how they're going to have trees, because there aren't many trees across Dartmoor, we will see. But that sounds really good. And then we have Awaken Realms have announced their lineup for 2025-26, and they have got some interesting stuff here. So these are the ones I've picked out. There are more. You can watch their video on YouTube. But these are the ones I noted. Agricola is going to come out with a special edition, so in the same style as Castles of Burgundy and Puerto Rico. They're going to do a special edition of Agricola with little miniature animals and things. This looks very cute and unnecessary, but there we go. If you like Agricola, sounds good. And then another Agricola version, but this is called Dead Harvest, and this is going to be kind of a post-apocalyptic farming simulator, which sounds very weird. We don't really know much more about other than the cover, but that sounds really fascinating. I don't know how that'll work, but let's keep an eye on it. And then the last one from them that I noted was a labyrinth. If anyone knows the Amazing Labyrinth, which is the one where you have rows of tiles shifting around. Labyrinth Chronicles, which seems to add 3D terrain, walls and things between the tiles. I don't really know what the Chronicles means because they didn't explain that. Maybe it's a campaign mode, I don't know. Labyrinth is a fairly light game. It's almost a mass market level game. But where that goes, we shall see. And that was it for Awakened Realms. So other things that have been announced, there's a new Lost Ruins of Arnak expansion coming out soon. It looks like it's going to be like a big box release with a new bit of expansion. So this is called Adventures, I believe. The new expansion being called Twisted Paths. And the big box actually coming with a storage solution that fits everything in it, which sounds interesting. It does say on TG's website it's going to be a limited print run, so I'm not sure how available it will be after the fact, but pre-orders will start for that on March 11th, running through to March 31st, and we're coming out in Q3, so yeah, have a look at that if you are a Lost Ruins of Arnak fan, as Lewis is. And then finally on the news, three games which have less information available. 2001 A Space Odyssey. This everyone must know that film by now, but this is a game set in that universe from Phil Walker Harding, which makes me interested straight away. I don't know anything more about it other than Phil Walker Harding, and therefore I'm straight into wanting to know more about that. Swamp of Feia. This is a new game from the designers of Terra Mystica and Gaia Project, so interested in what they're doing with that one. The artwork looks quite interesting, so again, we don't know any details of gameplay, but have a look. And then the last one, Druids of Edora. This is a new Stefan Feld game, which is due to come out at the end of this year. We know nothing about this again, but it's Stefan Feld, and it looks like it's not a reprint of one of his earlier games. So I'm immediately interested. I want to know more. More Stefan Feld. Yes, yes, yes. So let's move on to some play games I've been playing recently. I have finally finished Fellowship of the Ring, the trick-taking game. I mentioned this in the Lost podcast, but I finished this up at the tail end of January. Really, really good. Playing solo. I got through all 18 chapters. I really liked the way it rounded out the characters. And all of the changes between each chapter was very interesting. So if you're a trick-taking fan and you like that kind of easy progression of campaign mode, then take a look. That was really good. Next up, I've been playing Cantaloupe. Cantaloupe came out quite a number of years ago, mid-2010s, I think. But it's a kind of like a point-and-click adventure version of a board game where you are exploring an area. You've got a little red overlay to overlay onto the text, which is obscured until you put the overlay on, and then you read what's in the location, what happens if you combine objects together. You can move to different locations, you can discover things, combine things, get new things. Very much feels like a point-and-click adventure, especially in that sometimes you get stuck. It actually has a very good help guide at the end where you go through all the key points that you've ticked off, and these are in kind of an encoded grid of numbers and letters, and you can say, well, I've got up to this point and I can't get any further, I'm stuck on getting this thing. And it says, right, to get that, here's a hint of what you need to do. And then there's another hint saying, here's a bit more obvious hint of what to do. And then it says, and this is exactly how to do it. And that was so useful, because a few times I've been playing with my son and we got completely stuck. And then looked those up, and then we could progress. And then we jumped forward certain places. But it's really interesting. Very clever system. Looking forward to finishing it off. I've heard that the second one is not as good, but the third one is actually quite good. So I'm keen to learn more about those. And then finishing up the played games, I've played quite a few new ones on Board Game Arena recently. I'll start with Revive, because I think I mentioned that possibly last time or the time before. I've played that twice now online. I do not get it at all. It's really confusing and frustrating, because everyone else seems to love it. I just can't get the strategy. It just doesn't make any sense. There's just random things happening and putting things down, and it doesn't make sense. But maybe if I play it in real life, I will learn what it's more about. I hope so, because it actually looks very pretty. We played Azul Duel, another duel game. Joel and I had a run through this. And yeah, it's fine. It's like Azul, but it's a little more complicated. It's got added bits in, which I felt did not really add much to the game. Obviously, it makes it more balanced at two-player doing that, but I didn't really enjoy it. I didn't see the point. Toy Battle, which is a game from Paolo Mori. And again, Joel and I played this. It's a two-player battler, and it was quite a lot of fun. You were drawing troops. You have a certain number of troops available in your supply, and you're deploying them out onto various spots on the board. And then you're trying to basically get to your opponent's castle and take it over, or get a certain number of star points by surrounding certain areas. Kind of a little mini-area majority thing. And your worker tokens can overlay the opponent's tokens, as long as they're at high value, or they're sometimes they're wild and things, and they all have most of them have special effects as well. The high value ones don't have any effect. The lower ones have some kind of bonus, like draw extra chips or something like that. Yeah, I quite enjoyed that. I'm happy to try that again, and probably try that in real life as well. That seems like quite a cute one, and classic Paolo Mori two-player game. Next up was Aquatica. I mentioned this earlier. Aquatica is actually a really pretty game. The beautiful artwork. And really nice, intriguing gameplay. It's very simple to learn, but the strategy is quite emergent in how it develops over the game. I would like to play this one more, because it has piqued my interest there. Then I played a game of Railways of the World, and this is one I wanted to play for a while, because as many of you will know, I really like Age of Steam. It's a lot of fun. And Railways of the World is like a second a sequel to it from Martin Wallace, kind of an evolution of the system. This has online, it's a massive map, the map that they use, and it's, I remember this from watching Rado's run through, it's a very large map, but it's just too big to really see anything online, especially as I was playing a lot of it on my phone and having to zoom in and out a bit so I could really see what was happening. But it was a lot of fun. It let me play stuff, and Railways of the World allows you to take loans at any point to be able to afford what you need to. So I think I ended up with 40 loans or something insane at the end, and I still didn't come last, which I was quite impressed at. But that was kind of, it was fun to try. I'd like to try it in real life with less than five players, because then it might be a bit more wieldy, to see if it really is quite so insane as the size of the map and how scale it is. That was it. They're all my played games. So that is the end of my little mini pod sesh. So thanks for listening, everyone. If you got this far, I clearly worked out how to edit things properly and upload them, so thanks for bearing with me on that. If you'd like to contact the show, you can contact us in many, many ways. We've got email, Twitter, Facebook, Blue Sky, Instagram, Board Game Geek, YouTube, the website, and of course the wonderful Discord channel, where we have a number of our listeners commenting on things. You can find all those details in the show notes, and all that remains for me to say is thank you for listening, goodbye, and if you're going to the Fox and Hounds weekend, I hope you see Joel and Lewis there. Take care all. Bye-bye.